Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited to have all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast Christian Television Network with us today, all the way from Pascagoula, Mississippi to Sandestin, 1.4 million folks. And there it is, folks. There's that southern thing. Maybe we'll let you talk about that. It just happens. I don't know what happened
what
to
happened
me.
What happened to you?
It just happens. I'm sorry.
Gone are the days of tournaments.
I know. I like it, though. You know, I like being in the South. Here to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
I feel encouraged.
Listen.
It's good to be here.
Listen, I'm glad you're here. Speaking of the South, I remember when we first moved down from New York with my family. And, you know, we pull into, I think it was Georgia, we pull in to get gas. And you've been traveling for a long ways. I mean, it's a, you know, 20-hour drive. And I just pick up whatever, you know, I was a teenager at the time. And I just pick up a candy bar or something. I pay for it. And the lady says, "Y'all, come back, you hear?" And I said, "What?" I had no idea what in the world she said. Really, Jenny, I'm thinking, I paid for it. You know what?
You call me a thief. What are you talking about?
And she said, "Y'all come back, you hear?" And I said, "What? I'm sorry, man." And I'm just standing there, you know, dumbfounded. So I said, "I'm sorry, ma'am. Could you say that a little bit slower?" And she said, "Y'all come back, you hear?" I said, "Oh my goodness!" I said, "Dad, where are you taking me to? Where are you?" Different, but I have
where
to say,
are we?
I have to say that I do love the South and I love Southern hospitality. I've met some wonderful people in the South, and it's been a great, great ride.
Well, I can empathize with you. I had a little encounter recently, and I think that I spent a large portion in the North. Up in Detroit, Michigan area. Everybody's.
I'm sorry.
I know. We don't.
We
talk
will
about,
get to our ears.
We will not talk about football. Just let it go. Let it go. But the thing about like up north, we have sayings like, you know, we're on the same sheet of music. We're on the same page. You know, I'm catching what you're throwing. Stuff like that. Okay, it's a northern thing.
Same sheet of music.
I don't know. Let it go.
I never heard that.
You get
same
that?
Sheet of music.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Moving on. But anyways, I mean, I was at work and I was helping out a young lady and. I think God has just given me a revelation that I think I'm officially Southern. I don't know, you know. We'll leave this up to debate. And I'm in a communication helping out a lady, and we were talking back and forth. And I was like, "All right, well, it looks like we're cooking with butter."
You said that?
I said that.
That came out of your mouth.
That came out of my mouth.
Cooking with butter.
And she's like, "All
say
right,
that again. What did you say? What was it that you said?"
And we're going back and forth, and I says, "Well, all right, looks like we're cooking with butter."
Really?
I just kind of had a moment, and I'm like, "Did I really just say that?" But it was even more funny was the fact that she didn't.
I can't believe you're saying it now.
I know it sounds weird, even me saying it again. But
actually,
then
Steve, I think you missed it.
What did
it's actually, are you cooking with grease, not butter?
See, it's that much more of an emphasis. Now,
wow,
we're gonna take it even more southern. But what was funny though was she was laughing. She was like, "All right, sugar, that's okay." And she says, "Are you a Paula Deen fan?"
And I don't. Pat didn't even know who Paula Deen was.
I do now.
Thanks to our viewers and our listeners who educated Pat.
I got an edumacation.
But what was more significant about it was the fact that everyone around us didn't even skip a beat. Like that's just normal. And I was
there
like, "Well, all right then. Okay, I have relinquished my northernness and I have become southern. I guess. So.
I guess." All right.
Okay.
We'll get you a Paula Deen t-shirt. And,
I will give you the card and I'll send it in the mail.
There we go.
Well, I do know this, that I saw you a couple weeks ago and I thought you were getting ready with your Doug Dynasty starter kit because I did see some stuff growing down there. And
I tried it. Yeah. I tried it. I had a day off or two. So, you know, I skipped the morning routine. So it felt nice to not have to shave. So
Okay. Mm. Well, we will monitor that closely. But on today's program,
there we go.
Inslis, on today's program, we are going to be talking about new movie being released today. We want you to support it. It's called The Persecuted.
And just Persecuted.
Persecuted. Okay, we want to get it right. Persecuted. And the trailer is absolutely awesome. It could be right from the pages of current history, what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, all these wonderful Christian films that are coming out. A lot of folks are supporting them. And we're taking over the medium out. And, you know, Lord willing, we want to be able to, to put out good quality programming that builds families up, that builds society, that educates and yet entertains at the same time. Believe me, it can be done. It can be done. We can have wholesome programming. We're also going to be talking about crisis on the border and different perspectives. You know, this is a multifaceted crisis that has, you know, a wide variety of issues. And the more issues and the more points of this crisis, the more solutions that you're going to need to come together to fix this thing. This is not just a one approach or one perspective or one view. We have to look at it from you know, holistically. We got to look around the whole thing and see how what we can do to address it. But we're going to be talking more about that, some of the things we have discussed, and some other perspective as well as coming to an end to this crisis and finding resolution. Also, Steve's going to be talking to us just about the promotion of the Lord, paradigm shift, and how God blesses those who bless him and put God first. Believe me, God will do that. You put God first, and it's amazing what he will do in you and through you and for you. Oftentimes, people we talked about in a previous program, you know, they approach God like a lucky rabbit's foot, like a Santa Claus, come bring me something, but they don't treat him as holy. They don't treat him reverently. They don't understand the true paradigm of who he is. And when you come in contact with that revelation of the reality of God, God, and that he desires a relationship with you, and you follow him, things in your life will drastically change for the better. And we're going to hear testimony about that, which is very encouraging. And hopefully we'll get time to discuss a chapter in Rick Joyner's book called The Harvest. This book is in 25 years, Pat, 25 years since he wrote it. Many of the things that were written in this book prophetically have come to pass. Much more still getting ready to unfold. But it gives us kind of pretty good confidence when a lot of the things that were written over 25 years ago have already happened. And one of the things that he discussed in chapter is persecution. And by God's grace and time, we're going to unpack that and talk about it, because it's something that we're seeing on the rise, not only for the Saturday people, which is the Jews, but also for the Sunday people, which is the Christians. And persecution has always existed from the time of you know, the church, when Paul was standing at the side of when Stephen was being stoned with, you know, stoned, till Nero and all throughout church history. But we are entering a wave, if you will, a season, a period of time in where the church is going to grow in deep persecution. And it's one of the signs of the times. This is what Jesus talks about, that the love of many will grow cold. And there's going to be a great falling away. We want to encourage you, don't fall away. Stay plugged into the things of God. Stay plugged into what God is doing and to him, so that you can stand no matter the pressure and no matter the persecution. You can stand and you can make it. Let's talk about, when we get back from this break, we're going to be sharing about this movie. We want you to see it, support it. It's coming out today. Persecuted. More when we come right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The Holy Spirit said to tell the people that he has not overlooked your faithfulness. And the Holy Spirit said to tell the people, he's going to let you reap where you did not sow. We have so many things at our disposal. There's no reason whatsoever why we should not be greatly successful. There is times in your life and will be times in your life that God will give you a promise. And after he gives you the promise, things will get worse. And you'll say, God, I don't understand. But give it some time. There's a precedence in Scripture. It will get better. You don't know when. You don't know how, but it will get better.
what you're supposed to do. Obey, stay in faith, don't get in doubt and unbelief. When the devil starts really heaping it on, when the devil starts screaming in your ear, it's a dead giveaway. God is about to release you from that burning. There's a harvest at hand.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
What's one of the most important aspects of a good spouse? Well, on today's Focus on the Family Minute, Gary Thomas offers this suggestion.
Singles have no clue what they face up ahead. They don't know the trials or the challenges. But here's what God says. I'm going to let you choose who you face those challenges with. I'm going to let you choose who you walk through those trials with. And what will matter most is faith and character, being filled with the Spirit, having the wisdom of Scripture, invested in your family. In the end, that's what creates the most rewarding life. Jesus knew what he was talking about with Matthew 6:33. If we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things that we desire, those will be taken care of if we keep our priorities first. The why really does matter to answer the who.
Hear more from Gary Thomas today on our daily 30-minute radio program on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier, you know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to himself and, you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
Talking about the app, I love the app. You need to go to Google Play Store or your Apple Store or your Windows Store, wherever you listen, across all the platforms, we have an app for you. And it's the VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio app. You can continue to take VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio program on the go. We have podcasts for you that it downloads. Just it get right into your phone.
Just automatically.
Automatically. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was having a conversation last night with my sister, and she was telling me that a friend is going to Japan for the military, and she was sharing with her all the things that you know, have been discussed on VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio program, and how she was so encouraged. And she's like, well, she has a 15-hour flight, and she can listen to. I'm like, yes.
Oh, wow.
Tell her to get on the podcast. It will download right into her iPhone. It's right there. And she'll listen to it. Because you don't have any internet in Sky, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-uh.
And you can just listen and go. She's like, oh, my goodness, that's awesome.
You know, you talking about that, John, reminds me of an encounter that I had. There's a lady that I had met, and she travels so much. She travels from Miami. She's all over Florida, basically all up and down the coast. And we ended up just striking up a conversation about the Lord, and she was just sharing about how God's been speaking to her. Mm-hmm. And we just started talking about the radio program. And she was just like, what? And just really encouraged and intrigued. And we started talking about it.
VFN TV?
Yeah, the VFN radio program. And I looked down, and she had her purse, and then she had, obviously, like a cover or something for her iPad. And I said, is this your iPad? She says, yeah. And she just very, very, just opened up her iPad. I said, can I look at it real quick? She says, yeah. So I opened it up, went online, and went to the radio page, and then I went to the home, like the app, and I just downloaded the app for her. Put it right on her home screen. I says, here you go. And I showed her on my phone, showed her on the iPad. She ended up sending me a text. This was probably like a month ago.
Now, where does she work now? She works for
a hospital.
Okay.
But she travels and she works for, I don't even know. She works for multiple hospitals.
Right.
And she ended up sending me a text and she says, thank you so much for sharing me that app. I was up all night listening to segment after segment after segment, and I am so encouraged.
Wow, so you shared with her VFN, the VFN TV and the Daily VFN radio app.
Yeah, just downloaded it right there.
Wow, isn't that encouraging?
Yeah.
We're hearing testimonies like this over and over and over again, and it really encourages us because we're here for you. We're here to keep the conversation light and to, by the grace of God, bring biblical perspective to the things that are happening all around the world and to share wisdom moments. And to share what God has been speaking to us prophetically about the coming days. And we're excited, truly excited every day to have this conversation with you as we're abiding and seeking God and to be here with you. So this is beautiful.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we want to get right into Persecuted, the movie. Listen, CBN's reporting not just the movie, but a movement. And they have the story behind the story, if you will, and they get a chance to talk to the writer slash director, Daniel Lesko. And he begins to share how he wrote, the Holy Spirit empowered him to write the story. Mm-hmm. And so listen and watch as they begin to just unpack how this movie got started and what's the goal of it. Watch this.
There are those who claim that your ministry is intolerant, that your crusades may even threaten the freedoms of others.
Freedom is fragile and costly and must constantly be defended.
Daniel, what inspired you to write Persecuted?
The Holy Spirit inspired me to write Persecuted. I woke up one morning and it was there. The government was trying to take control of everything, including the very source that gave our country its foundation, which is biblical truth.
I cannot water down the gospel to advance.
James Remar plays lead character, evangelist John Luther. We met on location during filming in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Tell me about John Luther.
John Luther is the hero of our story, and he becomes a major evangelist at the level of a Billy Graham at a time when America becomes an unwelcoming environment for the gospel. And he's discredited. He is tarnished. He's taken away from his family and his ministry, and eventually has to go on the run as a fugitive to prove the truth.
Actor and comedian Brad Stein plays Luther's right-hand man, Ryan Morris.
Is your character a good guy or a bad guy?
I'm really not at liberty to give you that kind of information. And I'm surprised and shocked that you would ask such a probing question. I thought this was a Christian network, for crying out loud.
But that's why I'm a good reporter.
You are a good reporter. You know, I don't know. I think what makes Ryan Morris so interesting is that a lot of human beings consider themselves good. And he is sort of wooed and manipulated by a senator to say, perhaps you need to step in and take over for this failed ministry. So I think you'll really know if he's good or bad.
So John, what is your opinion of the primary tenets of the Faith and Fairness Act?
Fox News anchor Gretchen Carlson and I both have roles in Persecuted. She as the news anchor who questions John Luther's motives, and myself as a legal expert who talks about Luther's checkered past.
And leaving the scene of an accident. Talk about a relapse.
Well, you played a very powerful role. And I'll just say this, Wendy, our own Wendy Griffith from the 700 Club is an important role in the movie. And again, establishes the credibility of the case against John Luther.
Do you mind if we get a picture of my daughter?
So basically you have a famous evangelist, John Luther, who is framed for murder by a member of Congress because he's standing in the way of the sweeping religious reform. Is this really fantasy, or is this something that you could actually envision happening in America?
But it really is beginning because we allow ourselves to be silenced in the name of political correctness. In fact, a very close friend who is highly involved in levels of government, he looked at the story and he said, this scenario of religious reform is happening at the United Nations. There is a bill that is exactly what you're talking about.
Why is Persecuted not your typical Christian film?
Well, we have an all-star cast in the film of Persecuted, and I think it's because we have an all-star story that has come in sync with the pulse that is happening across our country, and I think people are picking up on that, regardless of what political view you come from.
Brad, what do you hope people are going to take away from this movie?
The seats. We want them to take the seats from the theater because nobody will expect that. They'll come back in. There's no seats. What happened? There'll be a big national exposure. Christians stealing theater seats. Get us tons of publicity. We'll bring them back. But this time we will have anointed them and laid hands so they're even holy seats. And consequently, people come on. We'll get saved even if they go see, you know, Saw 5. So it's going to be a completely spiritual journey that nobody saw coming.
Wow. Persecuted. Definitely a movie that you want to see. My goodness. I mean, listen, this is really going to be really, really
good.
Yeah,
it looks good.
In theaters today, check your local listings. Support it. Listen, not only don't go by yourself, take a friend, buy a couple of tickets, and check it out.
Well, movies like this, it is so significant because I've encountered a lot of people that they see a good movie and the common response is, I'll just wait till it comes out on video. Support the producer, support the team. You think about God. God has given us gifts that so many have had, but you think about it, they have given the ability, the technology, the support, the materials to make a production like this, and they're deciding to just pour out their moments to honor God.
Yeah, and that's a huge assumption to think that it's going to go DVD. If the sales don't go well, then it may not be a DVD. So go ahead.
Well, it will. That's the next step. It goes immediately to DVD.
Amen. Well, if there's funds for that, you know what I mean? It probably depends on how well the movie produces. If the movie doesn't do that well in sales, maybe it won't go. That's what I'm saying. Maybe it won't go to DVD. But nonetheless, watch it, get a ticket, buy the DVD.
Very exciting.
Do whatever you do, but get people there.
Yes.
Because this is real life. This is out of the pages of what's happening in could be happening in DC today. And if you don't have empathy for someone that's going through being persecuted, guess what? It's about to happen to you. So these are really important times and important issues that we're talking about. Steve, talk to us about the blessing of God and man, and what's happening with this whole paradigm of putting God first. What happens?
Well, man, I've actually just been really excited. You know, there's a whole backstory to just watching what God's done. And a lot of times, you know, trying to tell others about what God's done in my life, you know, a lot of times too, we can look at, you know, God says, you know, come after me. You know, we talked about just a recent scripture, the fact that, you know, when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things are going to come. And it's just like everything that the world offers, it's like that's the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's like a lot of times we can get that twisted and say, well, I have to take care of this. I have to take care of, you know, the job, the house, the bills, all this. And it's just like, God knows that. You know, he says specifically in his word that, you know, he knows exactly what you need before you even ask it. And, you know, when God called me, it's just like I had such a hunger to know this God that wanted to know me. And God just began to do just a radical change in my life. And so much so that since I've continually made it a purpose to put God first, God's been blessing me in the workplace.
Mm.
To my surprise of just like me, it's just like when people look at me and it's just like, no. Mm-hmm. Don't get this twisted. This is God doing this, because if you knew who I was, and it's just like, let me tell you the backstory. And even when I was in college, I was so hungry of just like, God, what do you want me to do? That God gave me a dream about my job at the time that I didn't even realize existed.
Mm.
And I had an up and coming career fair during the last semester that I didn't even realize, but then that specific employer was there. And it was actually Tracy that was working on my resume at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the schedule that she has, she felt bad for how long, because I was asking, you know, I just wanted some wisdom, just not really sure how to make a resume. Come to find out, she emails me. She's like, I'm sorry, it's taking me so long. I just finally finished it. The next day was the career fair. Wow. And I'm just like, the timing of the Lord.
That's God.
But the amazing thing was, is that, you know, I walked boastfully and pridefully into the interview process and was basically, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And these are my plans. And they're just like, we haven't even offered you the job yet. So this is what you're going to do. I don't remember.
It's called the reading between the lines.
I don't remember all the details of the back and forth conversation, but that's basically what it was. Like, I went very boastfully, and to my surprise, I got the job. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, though, that was the
mercies of God.
Yeah, the mercies of God.
Wasn't there a little humility involved afterwards?
Oh, a lot of humility. I had to go back and, you know, just through wisdom of the Lord, seeking, abiding, and just like, okay, God, you know, this was your idea, not mine. But the beautiful thing was, is that I went through that process of understanding the fact, okay, God, you have to be first, because it was your idea that gave me this job. Mm-hmm. So regardless of it, you know, because the major focus was, okay, God, I want a job where I can have the schedule that's needed to do what you've called me to do, to be here. Mm-hmm.
And that's important, because a lot of times people are finding the motive behind what you're doing, you know, the why of what you're doing is always key, foundational. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people are looking for work, but the question is, you know, why do you want that work? Why do you want mm-hmm. that job? What are you going to do with that? And as believers, you know, and for you, you said, listen, I don't want a job just so that I can get more things, stuff, and, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. but I wanted my job to conform to my ministry, to my call, not you conform yourself, you know what I'm saying? Have the job, you know, your ministry conform to your job.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people can't do the things that they want to do or are called to do by God because they've put themselves in a position where they've either sought the wrong job or submitted the plan of God or the call of God to a job instead of to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing. It's just like you have to take in consideration because God says specifically you cannot serve both God and money. You just can't. It's going to be one or the other. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is that God wants to be number one in your life. And it's not about, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then God, or God wants to be in the center of everything.
Yeah.
And that was that paradigm that God was just showing me mightily and his favor on me when I was in the workplace. And even in a transition at that time when God, like in recent segments we've talked about that, God called me for a season to move to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And I moved up to Pittsburgh, and even that was just miracles upon miracles of how God parted the Red Sea to get me there. And in the first month that I was in that city, I was top five in sales in basically the whole northwestern region of Pennsylvania, including the city of Pittsburgh.
Wow.
But it was just God just saying, this is me. This is my idea. Yeah. I brought you here. But the thing about it is that having that employer, having that business, having that job was an answer to prayer because it gave me the ability to do what God called me to do in that city for a season. Mm-hmm. And God did the same thing and says, okay, I want you to go back, to come back here. And it was, again, that repeated prayer saying, okay, God, do you want me in the same employer?
And he was back in the Gulf Coast, right?
Yeah, back in the Gulf Coast. And again, the prayer was, okay, God, I need to have an employer that will allow me to do what I'm doing right now. And it was a shift where I needed to work at night or needed to work basically the opposite schedule to be supportal and to be present here. And at that time, nobody wanted that shift. Mm. But again, it was the grace of God. I was just like, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, yeah, oh my goodness, that would be great. And again, God promoted me. And I was top in sales, top five repeatedly in the region, in the South Central region. Mm-hmm. But the significant thing was, though, is that during that season, my boss got promoted. And he had told me that he was talking with his boss, and they asked him, you know, who do you want to take your place? Mm-hmm. And he said it was me. And even my own coworker says, you know, we think that you would be a great, you know, leader in this place. You know, you know it very well. And I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and it's just like I knew the values and I knew the responsibilities, and to take that promotion would contradict me being here presently, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do this 100%.
Here, meaning just your ministry, you wouldn't be able to do the thing that you're called to do.
Exactly. And that's a huge paradigm. And in that last month, I was top five.
in sales.
Top five in sales again. But it's that much more, to my surprise, of just like pouring yourself out in God and just going after God, watching how God will take care of you. And that's the paradigm that we've so gotten away from in America, because we've put in, we've placed work first and saying, ah, you know, I got to leave early, I got to go do this. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, when we put God first in all that we do, watch what God does.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing that he's doing.
Amazing. Putting God first changes your whole paradigm.
Absolutely.
And positions you in a place so that God can bless you. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned. And he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had a, I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face. You're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom. And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God, but he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where?
And pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part, yeah. But
right. I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
You're listening to VFN Radio. where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to jump right into what's been happening on the border, the Mexican border and Texas border, the border of our nation, and how it has been flooded with thousands upon thousands of children. It has, for a long period of time, been just adults and families and whoever they can get, you know, come across. Mm-hmm. But we have a multifaceted problem. I mean, it's not a simple thing to put your finger on. Mm-hmm. These are complex issues that we're facing. And so it takes, you know, a multi-proceeded or multi-pronged attack, if you will, from different perspectives, from different sides, all coming together to bring resolution. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that our nation has become increasingly weak. We've been susceptible because we have a weak border. I mean, that's just the bottom line. We have a weak border, and we're completely vulnerable. And it's one of the things we shared in basically the protocol for the outpouring. Is one of the things that our nation faces. It's at the weakest border possible. When a nation doesn't have borders, and it no longer exists to be a nation. I mean, the reason why you have jihadist militants making a tunnel underground to attack Israel is because Israel defends its borders. You're not going to cross over that border, period. They defend that border, so they have no other choice but to go underground. And so with that, you know, you have that type of situation, but then you have sicknesses that can come over the border. Not only, you're exposing yourself to diseases, to sicknesses, and we mentioned in a previous program that right now in Liberia, there's an outbreak of Ebola that's really taken this country by storm. They have the WDC folks, World Disease, forget what the C stands for, they have their people leaving because they're actually getting sick. And it's a major, major outbreak that they're trying to put an end to it. Well, it doesn't take much to have an outbreak. I mean, it's only by the grace of God that we haven't had any kind of, you know, an outbreak in our nation that's taken us down. But when you realize that the CDC just found smallpox, interesting. You know what I mean? Just all these things that are they're coming up to the forefront. You need to lock down and secure the border. You got to get it prepared. And as Americans, that should be our response. Because it's not just about sicknesses. Now we have to worry about jihadists. We have to worry about those that would try to come do us harm, which, again, we've talked about in a previous segment about a professor in Kuwait who basically is saying, listen, take 4 pounds of anthrax and bring it into the U.S., spread it on the White House lawn. I mean, just, you know, don't worry about 9/11, these jets and stuff. Just bring in 4 pounds of anthrax, and you can have the same effect. And they have found evidence, reportedly, of Islamic jihadists crossing the borders. And so, hello, catch a clue. So as Americans, that is our right response to say, yes, we want to defend our borders. We don't want diseases. We don't want jihadist people to do us harm. We need to secure them. Granted, not a problem. Very reasonable. Okay? However, as a global Christian, you know, there's a lot of talk about being a global citizen, but as for a Christian, you are a global Christian. And so your perspective needs to be that God loves all the peoples of the world, every nation, every tribe, every language, every tongue, and that he loves them all. And that it's our heart's passion, our desire to reach them all for nation, for God. He called us to disciple the nations. And we have to first start discipling believers, but until we get to that point, we then can begin to disciple the nations. And so, yes, there's a response to children. I mean, if we won't go out and send missionaries out, and we have sent a lot, believe me, America has done, you know, the church in the West has done a great deal to send missionaries all over the world, but it appears that now the world is coming to our doorstep. So what do we do? I mean, how do we respond to them? Many churches in that area are ministering to the needs of those children. They are getting the resources to them. They are blessing them. And that's a great thing. And that's what we're supposed to do. But as we continue to look at this multifaceted issue and different approaches to try to come to an end of resolution, another thing, another perspective that's important to look at that we haven't quite addressed yet is to look at the perspective of what the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Council is taking by the leadership of Samuel Rodriguez. And that is they have a network of 40,000 churches in the U.S. and 500,000 churches worldwide. Hmm. Very large organization. And their approach right now is to educate pastors in Central America and to get the word out to their families, to the church at large, to their community, saying, listen, don't send your children here. It's been said that there's hope in America, and this is true, that there's opportunities in America, this is true, that people would rather die trying to come to America just for the hope of coming here. Mm-hmm. But the reality is this, that those that are being brought over, you know, I wouldn't allow my son to walk in New York City, Manhattan, without holding my hand, mm-hmm. much less putting him in a plane and entrusting him to strangers to go across mm-hmm. the world illegally into a border. Mm-hmm. Not only is that naive, but it's like, come on, right. I wouldn't let my kid go to New York by himself. And so understand that there's children that have been sex trafficked, they've been kidnapped, they've been killed. There's no promise that they're going to make it to America. And if they do, who's going to raise them? Mm. Children need to be raised or entrustments. And what they're trying to do is communicate to the parents saying, the best opportunity for your child may not be in America. The best opportunity for your child may be in the family structure at home. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, you know, the biggest indicators of people's success is not necessarily all these external things that people want to point to, education, you know, money. It always comes down to the family unit, the family structure, who spoke into their life. Mm-hmm. And I look at Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Ben Carson did not have money. He was very poor. Mm-hmm. His mother was not educated at all. And Dr. Ben Carson grew up to be a brain surgeon.
Yeah.
And quite intelligent in many other areas, not just the in the field of science, but that's because he didn't have two parents. He had one parent at home, mm-hmm. but that's because he had a strong parent that was able to raise him and impart values to him, mm-hmm. and from there he was able to find God and grow and do the things he needed to do. Well, I want you to watch and listen to Samuel Rodriguez as CBN interviews them, and on their initiative to educate pastors and communities and families in Central America and letting them know that, listen, there may not be hope to send your child by themselves. You need to be able to stay with your children, keep the family unit together, and build a better life where you're at or come together. Watch this.
Another coalition of faith leaders working on finding a solution to the nation's border crisis is the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, serving over 40,000 churches in the U.S. and more than 500,000 worldwide. The NHCLC is launching a campaign to keep unaccompanied minors from crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. Dr. Samuel Rodriguez, president of NHCLC, joins us now via Skype to talk more about these efforts. Dr. Rodriguez, many of your churches are ministering in the heart of this crisis, and yet you've decided on speaking some tough love to these parents. Tell us why.
Underline the term love, please. Yes, it is tough love. Churches on both sides of the border, on the southern border of the United States, many of our Latino evangelical churches are standing engaged on a daily basis, attempting to minister, to provide resources to these families, to these children that have come unaccompanied to the United States. Now, we looked strategically and said, we're going to have to go to Central America and Mexico, meet with the key evangelical leaders of corresponding nations and regions, and say the following. Do not, let me repeat, do not send your children to the American border. Here's the idea. In meeting with pastors in Central America, we heard from them the angst, the consternation, parents desiring for their children to have a better day. They sent them to America. Now, here's the problem. These children come to America without their parents. They enter into America. They're leaving the Mero Salvatrucha, the big gang in El Salvador. Gang infestation, drug violence. They arrive in East LA. The possibility and the probability, statistically speaking, of these children engaging in gangs and in drugs without their parents in East LA is almost equivalent to the probability that they are experiencing in Central America, which means the number one firewall against the many dangers and ills the parents are afraid of actually lie in the hands of the parents committed to Christ and providing a safe family structure. So parents in Latin America, if you love your children, do not send your children to the U.S. border.
And Dr. Rodriguez, you just met with church leaders from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. How committed are they to that message about not sending their kids to the border?
Yesterday, I actually wrapped up a meeting in Guadalajara, Mexico, over 2,000 leaders. I was preaching and ministering and spoke with their leadership about the situation at the border. And our executive director, Ricardo Luna, for CONELA, had great conversations in San Salvador with the leaders of Central America. They are committed. We're launching a PSA campaign in El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Honduras, and Guatemala, a strong public service campaign where pastors are speaking not only from their pulpits, saying, please do not send your children. It is wrong to send your children to the U.S. border by themselves. They may very well be exploited. The possibility of little girls being raped, children being sex trafficked, it is an amazing sort of threat or risk that you're taking by letting your children go up. So those PSA announcements are going to appear on radio, prayerfully and hopefully on television, definitely on print media, and conveying this strong clarion call, please do not send your children to the U.S. border. Commit them to Christ. Provide a strong family structure in your nation. Pray for an awakening and believing to God that the best is yet to come.
Okay. Dr. Samuel Rodriguez, thank you for your insights and for getting the word out.
You're welcome.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it maybe, you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours starting at 9 a.m. Central Time all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel. And we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment Barbecue.
The taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I was sitting there having her food. I can tell you. This man came in. He's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Off of Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul. Pat.
Hello.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
I'm doing pretty good. I've noticed that Steve.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Steve is looking nice and crisp as well, too. I like the tie. I like that going on there. And he has gel.
He has gel today.
I'm trying to match the laundered look.
Well,
the fresh iron.
There you go. But the gel works well. And of course, Chris is smiling. Oh my goodness, we have a program. So you see, they're not working with me today. They're just like, you know, I'm like, okay, all right, I'll okay.
Are these really the jokes?
Okay.
Or is there more coming?
So Pat, what are you talking about today? share with us what the Lord, come on, talk to us. We have such an exciting...
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before break, we were talking about crisis on the border, and we heard from Samuel Rodriguez, leader of the National Hispanic Christian Coalition, I believe, at the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, and where he is, you know, mobilizing the pastors in Central America by educating the people in Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, San Salvador about, listen, that the best hope that you're going to have is for your child is not sending them to America, but it's for the family unit to be together so that you can raise your child. And I want to add to that the greatest hope we need to be talking about is Jesus Christ. Yes, America is a wonderful place and it's a great opportunity and affords you to do a lot of things. But let me tell you that America without Jesus is nothing. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be in the worst impoverished place in the world with Jesus than be in America without him. Mm-hmm. And so as a church, we have the opportunity now to zero in Central America and do what we can do to, you know, share the gospel there. And then, of course, for the folks that want to come to our country from Latin America or any other country in the world, then we can help them, you know, speed the process up. Listen, we are a nation of immigrants, and so we need to be able to have a true understanding here of what that means. And a lot of times people talk about immigration, and it almost sounds like it's a bad word. You know what I mean? Well, no, it's not a bad word. We're an entire nation that's come from everywhere, and that's how America works. We're diverse people with different backgrounds, but we come together as Americans, and it's our diversity that really strengthens us, and we want to encourage more people to come. But we do need a process that will work and a process that helps them come all the way through. So we want to continue to pray for a resolution and the safety of our borders. Mm. We want to get into the last part of our program about Rick Joyner's book. He wrote a book called The Harvest 5 years ago. It was a prophetic.
25?
Yep, 25. This is 25 anniversary edition I'm holding here. And the book was based upon a vision, a dream, I believe, that he was given by the Lord. And many of the prophetic things the Lord showed him have come to pass, a great majority of them. This book was, before it was decided to be printed, was translated by many people and is rapidly went across the world just by people just printing them and sending them out. And so they were kind of forced to put it into a book format, but it wasn't the original, I don't believe, the original intent. But chapter 10 is what we want to just focus a little bit on, and it has to do with persecution. And one of the things that Rick says about persecution and the coming persecution is that persecution has been common throughout church history. And he says that God allows it for the purifying of his people and their martyrdom, which is one of the ultimate honors for his people. I mean, to be martyred is actually a gift. That's to die for being a Christian. Mm-hmm. And many have. He continues to say that the kind of persecution that took place during the 1930s and 1940s in Germany, which was considered one of the most civilized and brilliant and cultured nations at that time, was directed at non-compromising Christians as well as Jews. The kind of madness that broke out overnight in Rwanda, considered the most peaceful nation in Africa at that time, will become frequent, as well as to get closer. This will get closer and more frequent, this type of persecution, as we get closer to the end of the age. He says Christians should not be caught off guard by the increase of violence and persecution, but should know that every one of these will ultimately result in the great victory for the gospel. And that's important, because if you don't understand, you know, that persecution is going to come, if you don't understand that you're going to be targeted, and if you think that your persecution is a defeat, this is not going to be good. Mm-hmm. Understand that Jesus holds the keys of victory. He conquered hell, death, and the grave, mm-hmm. and that we're more than victorious, more than conquerors. We are overcomers, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb mm-hmm. and by the word of his testimony. So listen, everything is Father filtered. You know what I mean? You just want to be able to stand in the day of persecution. And he goes on to say in a section talking about the need for discernment, which is a great need for the church today, he says every highly visible Christian leader will be a sure target for attacks. In many cases, even when all of the evidence of immoral or unethical behavior by a Christian appears irrefutable, this will often be the result of entrapment, and the accused will be innocent. And so, pay attention. Mm. Likewise, some of those who will appear as champions of righteousness by exposing others in order to cleanse the temple will be deceivers themselves, who will actually have helped to set up entrapments that to have brought fabrications against Christian leaders. Almost kind of what we're seeing in this movie, the persecuted.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want to be used with a religious spirit to take somebody down. I mean, it's happened many times before, but you don't want to be the one on the inside like a Judas with a key to, you know, let people in.
Right.
It says every Christian leader is on Satan's hit list. If you did not know that, not just Christian leader, but every Christian is on Satan's hit list, and the more visible a leader is, the higher up the list they will be. Those who are not specifically leaders may also be on it. Some who have made mistakes in their past, which were exposed, he goes on to say, they'll just begin to twist these things out. And one of the things you see in Rules for Radical Saul Alinsky's book that he wrote about these 13 tactics, one of them is to use their own law against them. And you see that a lot. These rules for radicals are not just used for government purposes, but you can see this in corporate America. You can see these demonic strategies being employed against the Christian employee that says, you know, I'm a Christian. Eventually it comes out that person's a Christian. And then those that are used by the enemy will begin to try to use biblical standards that they themselves won't submit to, that they themselves won't honor in their own life, mm-hmm. but they'll try to hold a Christian to every single thing written in the Bible. And certainly that's our heart's desire to do so. But we are, you know, we're not infallible. Jesus is. We're not, as Christians, perfect. He's perfect. We make mistakes, but they'll try to keep pushing. Well, doesn't the Bible say? Doesn't the Bible say? And at every moment trying to target you and marginalize you and push you out. And this happens quite frequently mm-hmm. in corporate America. And if you don't know that there's a strategy being waged against you, you're going to respond in an inappropriate way. There is so much to talk about in this chapter, and we want to make sure that we get more to it on the next programs. But understand that this is all part of the process, that God wants to bring us victorious through this. And persecution is one really major thing. It does a lot of things, but it causes us to be humble. Mm-hmm. And those that are humble cry out to God. Those that are humble seek the Lord. Hey, don't falter in your day of testing. Don't falter in the moment of persecution. Understand that it has a purpose. In your humility, in that opportunity to be humble, cry out to God. Seek his wisdom. Stand firm. Stand strong. Don't sell another believer out. Stand for the Lord. Be willing to stick, stay and stand, even when it stinks, and watch the great deliverer of your soul open doors and unlock prisons to set you free. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.